You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in 2 Timothy today, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 119. We're going to start there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and this time of singing and the joy that comes from that in our hearts and to study your word. As we come together, we pray, Father, that your spirit be the teacher and that we approach the scriptures from the right division point of view, and that we be built up in a faith that brings honor to you. We pray, Father, for the needs of each heart. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you, within you, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that every need that we have will be supplied out of the riches of your grace. We thank you for that in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, our scripture reading talks about this book, the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? The Bible's under attack. We've talked about it. We've looked at different things that have approached that subject matter in the weeks before us or behind us. And that is the question today. Do you believe it? But many people today believe that the Bible's been debunked, that it's just a myth, that it's not believable. You can't put your faith in it. You shouldn't have any credibility. It's just another good religious book, like all the other religious books, and it has the same credibility and authority. Is that true? Is that what you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? It's very important to know what you believe. You know, a lot of times you grow up and you kind of believe what your parents taught you. You believe what they believe. And so when you ask the question, well, are you a Christian? Yeah, how do you know? Well, my grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. Yeah. It's not uncommon to see that children, as they grow, begin to accept what they're taught instead of knowing that what they're taught is what they accept. It's a very, and that's probably why this passage is given to us, and you see it up on a wall here, and I love the fact that in our assembly we have God's Word up on the wall so that people who don't want to listen to me can read it. Hey. But all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. That is something we just assume. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. What is all Scripture? What is all Scripture? And we looked at the fact that all Scripture is this book we call the Holy Bible. It is 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. This is the Word of God. This is the Word that God breathed. This is what comprises and composes all Scripture. But what do you think about it? Do you think that this is the Word of God? Now, the psalmist here, David, in Psalms 119, which just speaks overflowingly of the Word of God in every verse, except I think 5, you'll see the Word of God mentioned about the Word of God. And he says in Psalms 119, verse 105, Psalms 119, verse 105, he says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." That Word is the lamp unto my feet. It will show my feet the very path that I need to be on. And my problem is to stay on that path. Another passage in Proverbs says, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, just go straight. But Psalms 119 here speaks of the Word of God in so many ways and so many times. Let's go to verse 121. And look at verse 121. I say that because this psalm is broken into 8 passages, 8 verses. And each verse represents one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that passage that represents that letter of the alphabet, Psalms 121, begins a passage of 8 verses. Each verse begins with that letter of that alphabet. Each verse begins with that letter from the Hebrew alphabet. You don't get that in the English, but that's the way the Hebrews saw it and they read it. Drop down to verse 25. I am thy servant. I'm sorry, 125. Psalms 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And look at the next one. Begins the second, another passage of eight verses that begin with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. He says, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. My soul keepeth them. Keepeth the word of God. The word of God is a lamp, it says in 105, to our feet and a light and to our path. And look what Peter says about it over in 1 Peter. Go over to 1 Peter. I'm sorry. I think I did this 2 weeks ago. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to have to figure out why 1 Peter is so ungravitated to it whenever I think of this passage. There must be something over there that keeps my attention. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. What is it? It's the Word of God he's talking about. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. If I'm in a light place, if I'm walking during the daylight, if I'm walking in a place I'm comfortable and secure in, what do I need a light for? It's always when I'm in distress and trouble. It's always when I'm feeling the pressures that will cause me to err, that I need to be rescued from, that I need to have a light. I need to have the path lit up. And he says again, let's look at verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. A light that shines in a dark place. You know, it's not true with the unbeliever. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 8. I just looked at my notes and there it is, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Okay, Derek, read your notes. So Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And the contrast is as clear as it can be. There is no light in them. Nothing but darkness. Well, this Word of God is what we know. This Bible, with these 66 books, is the Word of God. And we looked before at this, and we looked at the Old Testament, and that we pretty much secured it, and it was even confirmed in the New Testament. Then we looked and talked about several things in the New Testament. Go back over to 1 Thessalonians. And just to remind you of one passage that we looked at in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, for this cause. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2. I noticed everybody looked at me. Where's verse 13? Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's the age-old argument. What is this? Is this book the work of men explaining God, or is this the work of God manifesting himself in revelation and writing to man? And that's exactly what we believe. This is the work of God. And all Scripture is this book we call the Holy Bible. Not some of it, not part of it. You know, there have been men throughout history that have taken that book and they have cut it up and they've taken a knife and cut out pieces. And some even claim that we do that. Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson, he went through and he read all the gospel accounts of Jesus and the miracles and he cut them out. He said, no one believes in miracles. That can't be. But all his wisdom and the wonderful things he had to say, those were the things that he underlined and he left in his Bible. Some people say that, well, we don't believe in the whole Bible because we just rightly divide, and all we believe in is the seven letters. The prison epistles that Paul wrote are the ones that belong to us. That's right. They do. They are written to us. All Scripture is written for us, but only some Scripture is written to us. We don't follow the others. Those aren't. There's a difference between the kingdom. When we move into kingdom study, we need to. When we approach it, we need to rightly divide it. We need to realize there's doctrine, there's dispensational, and there's practical. And a lot of times we can go to kingdom stuff to see practical application of Scripture and see what's going on. We go and we look and we see how sufficient Scripture is, because even our Lord, when He was tested in the wilderness, what did He rely upon? He relied upon "it is written." It is written. Those are the things. So Scripture's for us, but not all of it is dispensationally correct for us. And we do put our emphasis on the prison epistles. All Scripture is this book, the Bible. And it is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. That's our inspired. You ever hear people talk about the inspiration of the Bible? And sometimes if you're not careful, they're really not talking about what you think they're talking about. They're talking about, you know, it just really inspires me. That's the inspiration of the Bible. When they read this, as you can see it behind me, 2 Timothy 3:16, God inspired. What we know that means to be is that God breathed it. Men wrote it as the Holy Spirit moved them. But they were the words that God asked them to write. They were the words that God directed them to write through the Holy Spirit. They are the Word of God, these writings in this Scripture. So when we look at this word, God inspired, we don't mean that God inspired and it's inspiring. We mean that it's God's Word. He wrote it. Just another one of those attacks that we see come against the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He inspired every bit of it. And the amazing thing about it is God promised, and we saw this in Psalms, I think it was, let's go over there and look, I think it's Psalms chapter 8. He promised to preserve it. He promised to protect it. He promised to keep it. Psalms chapter 8. That's not in my notes, so if I missed it, forgive me. I missed it. It's Psalms 12. Verse 6, the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure. Words like silver, tried in a furnace of earth and purified seven times. Now, if you stop a minute and think about it, you know, that's a warm fuzzy. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. But think about what is being stated here. These words are etched in stone just like the Ten Commandments. They weren't just thought up of by man in one day and then could be changed later on. These are words of the Lord. The words of the Lord, it says, are pure words like silver tried in a furnace of earth, and it was purified. These words have been purified seven times. I think from the perspective of man, once man begins to apply this work, this book, to his life, he begins to see. Just like that song, Jesus, Jesus. How I trust Him, how I proved Him, more and more. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to prove these words. And in verse 7, He says, Thou, He's talking to the Lord, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He is the one who has decided it's going to be kept. Go over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not one. Heaven and earth are going to have to pass first before this book becomes irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. The sad thing is that the attack is not so much from outside, because when it's from outside, we're on guard about that. But the attack is from the inside. We have a lot of preachers today who talk about the Bible like it's irrelevant instead of making it relevant. How important it is to get into Bible study. Nothing is more frustrating than to be in a Bible study with grown men who profess to be Christians and they can't find the book of Deuteronomy. They don't know anything about the book. They can't find any of the minor prophets. They have a hard time finding some of the simpler stuff. You know, if you were to go to John or 1 John. And they claim the name of Christ. It's a frustrating situation to see that they don't even know their owner's manual. And what a picture it is of how far Christendom, at least in America, has come today away from the Word of God. Did you get Leland's letter in the mail? Did you read it? His Keep Looking Up article? It's right on target. He says that people, and the churches today are more interested in the psychological approach. They're more interested in the sociological approach. They're more interested in meeting the needs of man in order to maintain that relationship for whatever reason. You know, when we were growing up, we used to call it nickels and numbers. You know, they needed the money and they needed to fill the pews, and nickels and numbers is what we called it. That's just instead of telling them that what life is about that relationship with God, and you've got to maintain that relationship with God. Sin is sin. We need to point sin out. And the churches today, Leland said basically, they're not doing that. Did you see the back of the front section of the paper this morning? Well, if you take the paper, the back section, it's another one of those articles from the guys, I think they're down in their Church of Christ, I think, from, and they take a full-page ad, and they talk about stuff. You're from, what city?
Elk City.
Elk City, okay. I was going to say Ardmore City. That wasn't in my notes, though, so I'm... Sin is so... And where do we learn what sin is other than from this book? And how do we learn how to be redeemed from sin? How do we learn? And then once we are redeemed, how do we learn to walk that path from this book? It's this book that teaches us those things. And that's why the Scripture, if you want to turn back to 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. It's profitable. And he says, going back to 2 Timothy, he says it's profitable, first of all, in Timothy, verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15, he tells, Paul writes Timothy, and he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. These Scriptures. Wise unto salvation. There's a story about a caravan that was crossing North India, and numbered in its company was a godly missionary. And as the caravan passed along, a poor old man was overcome by the heat and the labor of this journey. And sinking down, he was left to perish on the road. And this missionary, this godly man, saw him. And when the others would just pass along, this missionary knelt down by his side and he whispered in his ear, "Brother, what is your hope?" And the dying man raised himself a little and he said with great effort, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin." And he died shortly after that. And the missionary, as he was meditating on this, he observed a piece of paper that was grasped tightly in the hand of the dead man. And he found that it was a single leaf from a Bible containing the first chapter of the first epistle of John. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, this word has an effect. There's a reason that Gideon's has been so successful. There's a reason that this book is the number one bestseller year after year after year all over the world. It's because it's the Word of God. And it's not just the Word of God. It is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. We've talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I think some of you even wrote down that there are so many things that back up this word and prove that this is the Word of God. Numerics. Remember we talked about numerics and that approach to it and how we could look and the numbers even prove that this book could not have been written by anyone other than God Himself. And the unity of the Bible, written over 1,500 years by over 40 different people and having so many books, but they all speak about the one subject, the love of God and His salvation for man. And then we have prophecy. And how many times have we looked at some of, like, at Christmas time, just eight little prophetic statements that were all true, came true, and came to pass, and the probability of that. It's a number that is that would blows your mind that you could take those eight that they'd all come to pass in regard to one man in one region at one time, and they did. You remember the illustration? It was as if you took a bunch of silver dollars and you covered the state of Texas 3 feet deep with silver dollars, and you took one silver dollar and you marked it and you hit it, mixed it all up, worse than a needle in a haystack, and said, pull it out. And the probability of eight prophecies happening is you're reaching down and pulling out that one silver dollar that you marked in that huge, not just the prophecy, but the fact that it's indestructible. How many times, and we talked about how many times people have tried to destroy this word. The fact that when it's translated into foreign languages, it still endures and people are saved day by day. The archaeological spade. Remember, the archaeologist, every time he uncovers it and begins to search. And many people have tried during their effort to discredit and to destroy the Word of God. Many people have been broken on this rock. And that rock is Christ. I've got a story. I don't know if I brought it, but I read a story. I hope I've got it here in my notes, because it's about a Russian matinee idol. Now, I don't know what a matinee idol is over in Russia. Here it is. I do have it. Alexander Rostyezev. It's all Greek to me. Matinee idol Alexander was converted while playing the role of Jesus in a sacrilegious play entitled Christ in a Tuxedo. He was supposed to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown, and cry out, "Give me my tuxedo and top hat." But as he read the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," he began to tremble. And instead of following the script, he kept reading from Matthew chapter 5, ignoring the coughs and calls and foot stamping from his fellow actors. And finally, recalling a verse he had learned in his childhood, he cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And before the curtain could be lowered, Alexander had trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Must be a true story. Must be a true story. It's amazing what this word will do. I mean, when you come up to somebody who's an unbeliever, what is the first thing you do? Get them into this word. Get them into this word. Little girl just received Christ as her Savior. Knew that her daddy, who was she knew her daddy wasn't a believer. She could tell in his life he wasn't a believer. And she crawled up in his lap and she said, "Daddy, how old are you?" And he said, "I'm 58 years old. And she said, "Oh, to be so long and to not have a Savior." He goes, "Oh, well, what should I do then?" And she said, "Just read Luke 15 and keep reading Luke 15. And as he kept reading Luke 15, we'll turn over there. Let me show you the verse that, verse 18 is the verse he pointed out. I will arise. And go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he received Christ as his Savior. This book is profitable. You know what that means? It means it's beneficial. It's useful. This book is beneficial in every aspect of life, in every area of life that you have. And it's not going to water the yard. It's not going to teach you how to take care of the cat. It's not going to deal with any of those aspects of life. But it is essential to us in every aspect of our life as gasoline is to an automobile engine. You know, if I were to get up here and I were to start talking about gasoline, that gasoline is relevant to the running of an automobile, you'd probably go, yeah, okay, we all got that. And then we'd start talking about, have you seen the price of gas lately? Instead of talking about how relevant it is in our life. Now, gasoline is relevant to the running of the automobile. And how relevant it is, boy, just go without gas driving down the road. And that'll cause a lot of problems, won't it? Well, this book is just as relevant to us. It's profitable. It's useful and beneficial in so many ways. Well, what ways are we talking about? We're talking about the issues of life. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. The issues of life. How else can we guard our hearts if we don't have this word as our fence and our defender? Out of our hearts come forth these issues. Well, our scripture goes on, come back to 2 Timothy, and it talks to us about some of the issues. Doctrine. Error. Correction and righteousness. Look at the latter part of verse 16. It says it's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? What do you think doctrine is? Well, doctrine's what I've been taught. It's more than what you've been taught. You're taught a lot of things, but what do you believe? What do you believe? Doctrine is more what do I believe and put into practice. Zacchaeus, come down. He knew. He believed. He comes down from the tree. If you remember the story. Today, the doctrine that we're getting is all muddled. We're seeing so many problems in America today. We're seeing so much calamity in our youth. We've taken away the Word of God from their life. It's not just their test scores are bad, but all the other problems that they have are bad. Teen pregnancy, drug addiction, sexually transmitted diseases, immorality abounds more and more and more. We got so many problems. And their hearts are unclean. And what does Scripture say? Where does a young man go to cleanse his heart? And it ain't Ghostbusters. It's this book. It's this book that we're... It's the doctrine. It's what we believe and how we learn to believe it. And then some of the things, you know, we know from rightly dividing, some of the things are for us but not to us. One of the things that helps us understand is that Paul says it had been given unto him to finish or fill to the full the Word of God. We know that when we're taught, well, John wrote the Gospel of John, or the book of Revelation in 90 A.D., we know that's not true for many reasons because we've studied the Scripture. One of the things is Paul says it's given to me to finish the book. And this is the last book, letter, that's written in the book, 2 Timothy. And we know Paul's getting ready to die. He tells us in chapter 4 he's getting ready to die. Simple things like that, that are right here in the book to teach us what we need to know. Doctrine, not just doctrine, but when we err from that doctrine, we get reproof from this book. This book teaches us. How is it that Mom used to say it? Don't do that. That's reproof. Don't do that, Derek. You know you're not supposed to do that. That's doctrine. She's going, you know you're not supposed to do that. Here's what you're supposed to do. That's correction. That's the next thing. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Don't do this, do this. And then instruction in righteousness. Righteousness. Just doing the right thing. That's what God's called us to do. It's this book that thoroughly equips us in order to accommodate all of these issues that come to us in life. It's this book, it says in verse 17, that makes us perfect. That the man of God may be perfect. Now, is that perfect as in sinless? No. We all sin. We all stumble. I wanted to say fumble. Well, we fumble too. Fumble that. We fail and we stumble and so we fumble. There you go. We fail and we stumble, but God never forsakes us. God never gives us up on us. He's constantly with us. He's taught us the way to recover from that fall. He's taught us how to find cleansing from that mistake. Confess your sin. Get back on the track. Go straight. Follow Him. That the man of God may be perfect, completely or thoroughly furnished. Every room has exactly what it needs. Every fixture is in that house. Every switch works. Everything is set. God says it's right here. It's thoroughly furnished. So that we can do what God's asked us to do, and that's good works. He's furnished everything we need right here unto all good works. You know, I think of that passage over here, Romans 8:28. It says, we know that all things work together for good. You know that all things is good and bad. It's not the all things, just the good things. It's all things. It's good and bad. There are bad things that happen. There are good things that happen. But they all begin to work themselves together. God makes sure of that. He works them for those that love Him. It's good works that we're to be involved in. Sometimes we don't get in good works. Sometimes we have a backbiting tongue like we learned about this morning in Sunday school. And it's a good north wind that comes in. You know, an angry countenance turns back that backbiting tongue. It's not a big sin like murder. But it's still a sin that injures and hurts. But this book teaches us how to handle that and what to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, or for reproof and for correction and instruction in righteousness, so that you and I are thoroughly furnished. You want to be thoroughly furnished? You want to be completely equipped? You want to be prepared for the problems in life? You know, some of God's people have problems. Some of God's strong, healthy, vibrant, full of the Spirit, on the center stage, leading the team, have trouble. There's lots of alternatives. There's lots of solutions for when you have trouble. But the man who's in this book, who trusts in the Lord, will be able to handle any of those problems, any of those situations, whatever they may be. And they'll be bold in that. Faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll finish up with this. Paul writes in Romans that faith comes from hearing. Right? 10:17. And hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. I encourage you through the week that if you don't have time to read the Word of God, at least listen to the Word of God. There's lots of opportunities that we have. You can plug in a CD. You can listen on your radio. You can download MP3s. You can read the book. You can listen to the book even being read to you. But don't deprive yourself of that, because it's faith building. It's faith strengthening. It says here in chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What is he talking about there? He's talking about by the word of God. When we talk about faith, we're talking about the divinely implanted principles of God. Abel was well aware of DIPOG, the DIPOG principle, the divinely implanted principles of God. And verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. Enoch knew the word of God. By faith, he knew and he understood. And Noah, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Trusted and obeyed. There's no other way. You want to be thoroughly furnished? You want to be profitable? The profit that God's talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is not your cars, and it's not your clothes, and it's not your clubs. And I think of clubs, you know, I think of my tennis racket, my baseball bat, my golf club. I don't think of... I know some of you probably think of those clubs with people who park your car for you. No, it's not about your cars or your cash or your clubs or your... It's all about character. That's what... It's beneficial and useful. It's what determines who the man is in every aspect, in every area of life, whether it's good times or bad times. Whether it's time to laugh or time to cry. He's got the answers. It's all right here. Like it says, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this word. We thank you for your faithfulness to preserve, protect, and keep, to guard it, to hand it down from generation to generation, generation to generation, generation. We have it today. And we're so grateful. We fail so many times to live up to that standard of being in the Word daily. But Lord, even our thoughts turn to that. We love you, and we thank you for chastening us. It's not fun, but gosh, it has such a great reward at the end. Keep our sights on that. We thank you for the faithfulness of your Son and our Savior, who showed how important it was to be obedient even unto death. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that comes as we study. May we continue to study, ever giving you the credit in all that happens. And this we pray in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.